You know, there's a wonderful testimony in that song that we just sung. The touch of Jesus is something that will change a person's life. And I think what our old sick world needs today is exactly that, the touch from the Master's hand. I think what our discouraged world needs today is exactly that, the touch of Jesus. And I know that those that are spiritually dead this morning, and there are probably some in this auditorium, some of you who have never asked Jesus to be your Savior, some of you that have never come to the cross and received what He did there for you, I know what you need is a touch of Jesus this morning. I speak this morning on the subject, He touched me. He touched me. You know, in the Bible, we have many examples of where Jesus touched a person. And every time we read in the Bible of Jesus touching a person, something wonderful happened. Something miraculous happened. Something happened that can't be explained from a human standpoint. You can only explain it that it comes from the touch of God. I want to look at three people this morning in the Bible that Jesus touched. I want to share their stories because their stories, the three people that I'm going to talk about, in some way represents all of us. In some way, they represent the people that are here this morning. And they represent the sickness that is here this morning. And the discouragement that is here this morning. And the feelings that are here this morning. And in these stories, true stories, not made up stories, but true stories of people who Jesus came into their life and touched them, what a difference He made. And my point this morning is, He has still make that difference today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus doesn't change. And the fact that He touches people's lives doesn't change. And what His touch did for people back in the New Testament, His touch can do for us today. First of all, I introduce you to a man that whose story we find in Luke chapter 5. He is a leper. You don't need to turn there. I'll tell you the story. He is a leper. He had that dreaded disease of leprosy. That disease that attacked your body. That disease that ate away at your body. It ate the skin and the flesh from your body. And your body was covered with running sores. Sores that ran pus. Sores that ran blood. Your digits would fall off. Your fingers, your toes. Pieces of your ear. Pieces of your nose. Lepers would wrap rags around their sores, and they were required by the law to move outside of the city. They were required by the law to move outside of the camp. Because you see, leprosy was a very contagious disease. If you touched a leper, in all likelihood, you were going to get leprosy yourself. And so they were separated from their families. They were separated from their spouses. This man was separated from his wife. They were separated from their children. If this man had children, he could no longer cradle them in his arms. He could no longer pick them up and hug them and kiss them like we do our children and our grandchildren. All of that was prohibited by law. He lived with the other lepers in the outside of the city, in the outside of the camp. If he was on a street walking down a road and he came across somebody, the law required that he put a rag on his upper lip, cross to the other side of the road, and cry out, "Unclean, unclean," to give everybody fair warning that a leper was approaching and they did not want to come close. They did not want to even take a chance of touching that person because they could catch his dreaded disease. One day, news came to the leper camp. One day, somebody told this man about Jesus. This man, he heard, the one that was bearing the news said to him, "Hey, I want to tell you what I heard. I heard about a man called Jesus. He's from Nazareth. I've heard some things that he's been able to do that's just miraculous. I've heard that he took a person that couldn't hear and touched his ear, and that deaf person could hear. I heard about a man that was all bent over because of an ailment that he had, and Jesus didn't even touch him, just told him to stand up straight. And for the first time, he could stand up straight. And he said, I've even heard that he can cure leprosy." When this leper heard that, he said, "It's impossible. Can't be done. There's no cure for leprosy. Nobody can cure. No, I heard he actually took a leper and took his leprosy away from him. And in that man who was separated from his family, who was separated from the ones that he loved, who was separated from the way of life that most people enjoyed, in his heart, a little seed of faith was planted. A few weeks passed. Another man came up. He said, "Hey, have you heard about this man called Jesus?" He said, "Yeah, I've heard a little bit about him." And the other man said, "Well, let me tell you some more about him. I heard he was out on a hillside and he was teaching a big crowd of people, 5,000 men and their wives and their children. And it came lunchtime and he took a little boy's lunch, five little pieces of bread and a couple pieces of fish, and he fed them all. He gave them all they wanted to eat. And they took up the leftovers and there were 12 baskets full." I mean, I heard that this man called Jesus did that. I heard that he was out one time in the middle of the night on a boat with his disciples, and there a storm came up. And I heard that he stood up in the boat and said, "Peace, be still." And the winds quit blowing, and the waves that were chopping and throwing the boat back and forth, they just became as still. The sea became as still as glass. He said, "I heard that he was able to heal the disease that we have, the disease of leprosy." And that little seed of faith that had been planted a few weeks before sprouted and began to grow a little bit. One day, this leper heard some more news. Somebody told him, "This man of Nazareth, this man called Jesus, is coming to our city. He's going to visit our city." And this man said, "Oh, what a wonderful thing it would be to meet this man from Nazareth, this man called Jesus. What a wonderful thing it would be if it's the reports are true that he could heal this disease that we have called leprosy." Let me read from Luke chapter 5 for you what the Bible says. "And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy." I'm glad we got a God that doesn't do things halfway. I'm glad we have a God that can take a man full of leprosy who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean." I can just picture it in my mind. This man who, for all other people, would have to cross the road and put a rag up to his lip and cry, "Unclean! Unclean!" When he saw Jesus walking on the road, he recognized him as a man like no other man. That little seed of faith that was planted in his heart, that sprouted and grew a little bit when he got the reports of what Jesus did, didn't cross over to the other road. The Bible says he came to Jesus and he fell on his knees. And that seed of faith that had now grown to a great big faith said, "Lord, I believe that if you wanted to, if you wilt, that you could cleanse me of this disease that I have, this disease that has separated from me from everybody I love, this disease that has separated me from the life that I knew, this disease that is just racks my body with pain and is causing my body to fall apart. God, I believe, Lord, I believe that if you wanted to, you could heal me of this disease." And Jesus did something that no other person had did to this person in a long, long time. He said, "I wilt, I will." And the Bible says that he touched him. He touched him. A man full of leprosy. A man that had no hope. A man who thought, "One day I'm just going to die and I'll be buried in a leper's grave and nobody will care." Jesus touched him and he was healed of his leprosy. I can see it in my mind as he stands to his feet and he unwraps those places on his body that had been sore and open. And when he looks at them, they're no longer open wounds, but baby, fresh, new skin. I can see as he looks at his hands where maybe he had been missing some fingers, or looks at his feet where maybe he's been missing some toes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Glory to God, they're all there. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3. They're all there, they're all there, they're all there. He's cured me. I can go home back to my wife. I can go home back to my children. I can go home back and take my job and support my family and live the kind of life that I'm used to living. Because I've met this man from Nazareth. I've met this man called Jesus. And he's healed me of my leprosy. Don't you think he could sing, "He touched me"? Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. You may be here this morning, and you're sick of soul. You're sick of soul. You're a Christian. You're on your way to heaven. But there's something between you and God. There's something in your relationship that's keeping you back from fully enjoying the abundant life that God wants you to have. It's a sickness. It's not a physical sickness. I'll talk about that in a second. But it's a spiritual sickness. You're not dead because you've received Christ as your Savior. But there's something between you and God. So a problem in your life, a heartache in your life. You're like the leper. You don't know. There's no way out. You can't see any way out. You don't know how you're going to get out of it. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. There's no hope. You may say like him, "I might as well just die because there's nothing I can do. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to beat it. I don't know how to defeat it." I want to tell you what you need this morning. You need the touch of the Savior. You need the touch of the hand of the Master. You need the touch of Jesus. Let me tell you about a second man that Jesus touched. One we know quite well. His name was Peter. He was out with Jesus in the boat that night in the storm that I talked about a minute ago. He was there when Jesus stood up and said to the waves and said to the wind, "Peace, be still." And the wind quieted and the waves calmed down. And Jesus, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I got to back up. Will you let me rewind the story for a minute? You do that sometimes with your DVD, don't you? Well, let me rewind. Disciples were out in this boat in the middle of the storm. They were rowing hard. Jesus had sent them on ahead. That's the day that they'd fed the 5,000 men and the women and the children with the 5 little pieces of bread and the 2 little pieces of fish. And they were out in the middle of the storm trying to get home. And they couldn't make it because of the storm. And they looked out over the sea and they saw somebody walking toward them. They thought it was a ghost. I'd be afraid, and they were afraid, and I'd be afraid too. Wouldn't you, Junior, if you were out in the middle of a boat in the middle of the night and the wind was blowing, here comes somebody walking on the water? I'd be afraid. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. It's me." And Peter, the disciple who's always mentioned first in the Bible, the disciple who sometimes, like we, says things without thinking, says, "Lord, if it's really you, let me come unto you." He said a prayer. That's why I always tell you, be careful what you pray for, because God may answer it. Amen. Jesus said, "Okay, Peter, come on." Storm's still raging. He was going to calm it, but Peter didn't know that yet. He was going to say, "Peace, be still," and the waves were going to be still, and the wind was going to be quiet. But Peter didn't know that yet. Jesus said, "Okay, you want to come? Come on." Peter gets out of the boat, starts walking on the water. I'm sure he thought to himself, this is neat. Look at me. Hey, you guys should try this. Come on. Now the other disciples got out of the boat. What does the Bible say? When Peter looked around and saw the winds and the waves, and he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. And he cried out. He didn't say a fancy prayer. He didn't say a prayer with lots of fancy words in it. He just said, "Lord, save me. Save me." And the Bible says that Jesus came to him and reached down and caught him, which tells me he was on his way down. down. You know what? There are some people this morning that are here that are in the middle of a storm. You're in the middle of a storm. Some of it may be because of finances. Some of it may be because of relationships. Some of it may be because of habits that you've allowed to come into your life. You're saved, you're on your way to heaven, but Peter was saved and he was on his way to heaven, but he was sinking. There's some people here this morning, they're in water up to their knees. There's some people that are in water up to their waist. There's some people in water up to here. If you go much further down, you're going to be all the way under. You know what you need this morning? You need the touch of the Master's hand. You need to cry out, not for salvation because you're already saved, but you need to cry out, Lord, save me. And you need to see that strong, muscular hand of our Savior reach down and grab you and pull you up out of that sea that you're about to go under in. You need the touch of the Master hand. I think Peter could sing that song. He might sing it a little bit different. He might sing it, oh, he caught me. Yes, he caught me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. The last person I'll introduce you to this morning is a person that we read about in our scripture reading. A ruler named Jairus had a little girl. Little girl had been sick. In fact, when he came to Jesus, his little daughter had just died. He'd heard what Jesus was able to do for sick people. Perhaps he'd already heard an account of that widow of Nain, who Jesus walked into that city one day and saw a funeral. It was a widow and whose only son had died, and they were carrying him out to bury him, and Jesus stopped the funeral procession. Said, hey, stop, you don't need to go any further. And he raised that young man back to life. Perhaps Jairus had heard what Jesus had done in the city of Nain. He came to him and he said, Master, I have a little girl. She's the light of my life, my only child. She's been sick for a while. She died a few minutes ago. But if you would come, I believe that you could restore her to life. Jesus said, I'll go with you. So he took his disciples, at least three of them that we know of, and he followed Jairus to his house. As they were going, there was a lady who had been sick for a long time. The Bible says she spent all her living for doctors, and they couldn't help her. And she said, if I could just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I know I would be healed. And when nobody was looking, not even Jesus, she got as close to him in the crowd, and she reached out, touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. Jesus knew, the Bible says, he knew that virtue had gone out of him, and he said, who touched me? Somebody touched me. Peter said, hey, there's all sorts of people around you. They're all crying. Yeah, anybody could. And he said, no, somebody touched me with a touch of faith. And the Bible says the lady came to him and said, I did it. I thought if I could touch you, the sicknesses I've had for so many years would go away. And it did. It did. Servants came from Jairus' house, I think at that point, and said, hey, your daughter's been dead now for a while. There's no use bothering Jesus about it anymore. Jesus said, Jairus, don't worry. Don't worry. Let's go to your house. Bible says he took James and John and Peter and Jairus and Jairus' wife, and they went into the bedroom where the little child lay on the bed. She was dead. Her heart was no longer beating. Her lungs were no longer pumping. Blood was not running through her veins. She was dead. And the Bible says that Jesus went in, took her by the hand, and said, "I say unto you, maid, arise." And her heart started beating and her lungs started pumping. And she got up and walked. And Jesus said, "Give her something to eat. Give her something to eat." You know who that little girl represents this morning? It represents every person here who has never asked Jesus to be their Savior. Because you see, you're dead this morning. You're spiritually dead. You're dead in sin. Your physical heart may be beating, and your physical lungs may be drawing in breath, but in God's sight, you are dead in your sins. And what you need this morning is the hand of the Savior, that hand that was nailed to a cross, that hand that bled from the nail that was driven through it to hold it to the cross. You need the hand of the Savior to come and touch you this morning. If you'll let him touch you, he'll give you life. He'll give you your breath back. He'll make your spiritual heart start beating. You'll know what life is. And he said, "I've come to give life, and not only life, but to give life more abundantly." Now listen, I don't know who you are this morning. I really don't. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, like Wendell said a moment ago, what's keeping you back? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? He died for you. He loves you. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants every single person to come to repentance. He wants every single person to come and live with him in heaven. He wants you to come. Would you let that hand, that still has a nail print in it, would you let him reach out this morning and touch you? And then you'd be able to sing like these that we've talked about. "He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul." Something will happen. Every time Jesus touches somebody, something happens. Something happened, and you'll know, "He touched me and made me whole." So here's the invitation this morning. I'm done. Here's the invitation. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I invite you this morning to come as a sinner who knows that they are a sinner to a Savior who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." I invite you to come and let him touch you. Many of us here this morning are Christians. Some people think when you get saved, all your problems go away. And you never have any heartaches or trials. But it doesn't work that way. God allows things to come into our life for various reasons. But like we were talking about in Sunday school, it's all according to his plan. You say, "Preacher, I don't really like his plan." And there are things that come into our life that if we had the choice, we would say, "No. No, I don't want this. I can't believe, God, that you would let this come into my life. I just can't believe it." But that's why the Bible says his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We don't think like God. We don't know like God. What God does, he does because he's God. He's God. And he never, ever promised us as Christians to keep us out of the lion's den or keep us out of the fiery furnace or to keep us out of problems and heartaches. But he did promise, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." And some of the sweetest fellowship that Bible characters and some of the sweetest fellowship that people in this church have enjoyed with our God has been in the time when we've gone through those trials and gone through those heartaches, and we've known that the hand of our God was upon us. And so this morning, if you're a Christian and you've forgotten what kind of God you serve, let him reach out this morning and touch you. Let him touch you. And then you'll be able to say, he touched me, he touched me. Oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me, and he made me whole. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for that touch. Thank you for the touch of salvation that many of us have experienced already. We know we're on our way to heaven because of what you did for us on Calvary. And if there's just one person here this morning that's never experienced that, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would speak to them right now. You would show them that they're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin, but Jesus paid for it. And if they come, he'll take away all their sin, put it under the blood, make them right with you. And so I pray for every person that's never received Christ that this would be the hour, this would be the time that they would receive the Savior. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. Again, you know what's going on in their life. You know the heartache. You know the trial. You know where they are, sinking in that sea of despair. Father, reach out and touch them. Reach out and touch them. If they need to come and spend some time at this altar, help them to do that. Father, I just pray that you bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient to what you tell us to do. We ask all this in the Savior's name. Amen.